Praise the Lord. We really should trust more in the Lord to lead us on. Like we shared in the very beginning, this conference is not to give us a lot of new knowledge, but to really help us to practice and to see the time that we live in, and hopefully we will be motivated to really go on, leave everything behind. There are so many things that is trying to hold us back, no doubt about it. Good things, bad things, frustrating things. There are so many things to hold us back. That guy Trump thrives in difficulties. But our Lord more so. In all the time that he was on this earth, he went through so much trials. More than anybody else. And went through so much difficulties and opposition. And the book of Hebrews told us he was made perfect through sufferings. But unfortunately, we don't like to suffer. In fact, we shrink back. If there's any trouble, we retreat like a snail. You just touch it a little bit. It's shrinking back. Right, and then you don't see him anymore, right? So we are like a snail. But praise the Lord, with our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans chapter 8 says, he made us to be more than conquerors. Amen. Are you? Are we? More than conquerors? Well, we are. Because our Lord is the victorious one. He has conquered the whole universe. All the principalities and powers. Right? All the difficulties. The world, religion, Satan. All the power of darkness. Everything. And he ascended, and he's the one worthy to take that book. And I hope that this vision in Revelation chapter 5, the Lord ascending to the throne and on high, and the one worthy to take that scroll in his hand. This is very important for you to see. And to know that he is, in fact, truly the ruler over everything. He's the head over all principalities. He's the ruler over all the kings of the earth. He's the head over all things given to the church. What else is he not? He is everything. He is everything. You have to realize this. Right? And he really is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. A million billion times better than... Yeah. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful Christ. What a wonderful Christ. And we have to see him, we have to know him, we have to experience him. Right. And he is in us, and we are in him. Right. Such a wonderful Christ. Praise the Lord. And the book of Hebrews showed us he is our great heavenly high priest, King of righteousness and a King of peace. Of course, as such a wonderful great high priest today, actually, he is training us to be the priesthood. Amen. Not just to help us. Of course, it says in Hebrews, he will help us, and he is more than qualified to help us in things pertaining to this wonderful God, how to serve him as priests. And the priesthood, actually, in the whole Bible is all-inclusive. It is God's original plan. He wants to have a kingdom of priests. This is really wonderful. And you can see that in a book of Ezekiel when he comes back and he set up his throne in Jerusalem, in the temple. Who are the ones who have that privilege to approach him, to come near to him, to bring him the offerings? Who? Just anybody? The sons of Zadok. They are not just the priests. They are the faithful priests. Wonderful. Nobody else could approach him. Can you imagine that? So, don't look down on the priesthood. Right? You should realize that, and as a warning from a nation of and a kingdom of priests, it was reduced to one tribe, the tribe of Levi, for the priesthood. And yet the tribe of Levi was not faithful. So finally, at the end, it was reduced to the sons of Zadok. Isn't that sad? It is really sad. Look at today's situation. How many people want to be priests? I don't think you can find many. To be a Christian, to be saved, of course, go to heaven. Everybody likes that. And of course, if you hear the gospel of prosperity, everybody wants to be a billionaire. You want to be a billionaire? You must be an exception. Right? Everybody wants to be rich. So gospel of prosperity, why not, right? You give the Lord $10, he gives you $100. You give him $100, he gives you $1,000. You give him $1,000, he gives you $10,000. Huh? Wow. What a gospel. You like that kind of a gospel, brother? Right. So at the end, nobody becomes a millionaire but a pastor. What a deceitfulness that is. Right? So we all need to see that to find the faithful, holy, and royal priesthood today, it is not easy. Really not easy. There are so many Christians today, but if you tell them God wants them to be the priest, they will argue with you. They will argue with you, definitely. So don't argue with anyone. Right? If they don't want to, it is a gift of God, the priesthood. It's a privilege. It's really a wonderful privilege. God will not beg you to receive it. No. If somebody wants to give you, I don't know, 10 kilos of gold. Would you receive it? Does he have to beg you? Please, take it. Take it, please, I beg you. Take it. It's free. This is my gift for you. Take it. Please. I'll be crazy to do that. God has given us such a wonderful gift, the priesthood, and you don't want it, hey, don't beg people to do it. Don't argue. Don't try to force them to take it. And forget it, you know. You don't want it, that's fine. That is fine. Okay, it's your choice. You don't like it. Good. I'll keep it. Really, the priesthood is everything. It is all-inclusive. You get everything that comes with this wonderful priesthood. Right. So, the Lord, at the end of this age, we have seen that chart concerning the seven churches, right, at the very end here, Philadelphia, going there, the building up of the church. Right. The building up of the church, and you have to really see what Peter says. This spiritual house comes with a holy priesthood. A house, the house of the living God without a priesthood is unthinkable. Unthinkable. It's impossible. It's a house of the living God, and without a priesthood, a royal priesthood, what do we do in that house? What do you want to do in that house? Concert? Well, not concert like the world, but the Messiah. Huh? The Messiah. How about that? We're not singing rock music. We'll sing the Messiah. How about that? Shirley will play the piano. George will be the conductor. And we will all be the wonderful choir. Then we'll sing the Messiah. You think that's what the house of God is for? Right. No, no. There needs to be a holy priesthood to do the priestly service. The house of the living God without a holy priesthood is unthinkable. This has to come into our concept. And it's not just for people to come and, I don't know, just pray. No. No. So may the Lord open our eyes to see that at the end of this age, the Lord really is recovering not the doctrine of the priesthood, but the practice of the priesthood. I have heard messages about the priesthood 40 some years ago, but I have not seen it practiced. Yeah. And finally, the priesthood became just a kind of a function. And what is the function? The service groups. Arranging the chairs, cleaning the window. I clean this side and you clean the other side. Oh, you better clean the other side. I'll clean this side. And all of this, that's the priesthood. But if you take a look at that wonderful tabernacle, there's the holy place, and there's the holy of holies, and there's a wonderful, in the outer court, big, giant burnt offering altar. And so many offerings were brought in, and the priests are the ones that will help the people to really offer up the spiritual sacrifices. Without the priest, it's impossible. Right? And so that's why the book of Hebrews is so important and concentrating, focusing on what? On the priesthood. The main thing. Remember in chapter 8, this is the main thing that we are talking about. We have such a great high priest who has entered into the heavenly holy of holies, serving in the heavenly tabernacle, not made by hands. No. This is the main thing, the whole priesthood. The more I think about the book of Hebrews, the more I felt this is what the Lord really wants. And if you think about our Lord being today in the heavenly, what is he doing? What is his main job there doing, just sitting on the throne? His main job there is not just to rule over the nations, you know, as king sitting on the throne. It is to rule over his enemies, okay? We are not his enemies, okay? Are you? We are his people. Right? So for us, he's not just the king there. Of course, he's the head of the body, head over all things, but we see him in the heavenlies as the great high priest. Now, before we went into the priesthood and in the book of Hebrews, let me ask you, how many of you are really conscious that today Christ is our great heavenly high priest, training us to be the priest, the holy and the royal priesthood? And when you pray to him, you're praying to the heavenly great high priest. Timo, no. I think many of us are not conscious of that, right? You pray, oh Lord, help me. You didn't say, my great heavenly high priest, I need your help right now. And the high priest is to help you to do what? To solve your problem? My job is to help you and train you to be a priest in things pertaining to God. How about that? We don't have that consciousness. This is one of his main thing, and Hebrews says that is the main thing. We have a king sitting on the throne. Is that what he says? We have a great high priest. Wonderful. Wonderful. We have to appreciate that. We have to appreciate that today he is our great heavenly high priest, training us to serve as priests in the house of the living God. Amen. Amen. So, in order to prepare for the coming kingdom, then we need to be trained to be the holy and the royal priesthood. Right, so let's go to page 6 now. Last night we fellowship concerning living in anticipation of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. So you all need to anticipate the return of our Lord Jesus Christ every day and all the time. Now, in the second point here, concerning the preparation, we made a very short outline, actually. It's very short. Practicing the holy and the royal priesthood today. Amen. This is what the Lord is doing. All the truth the Lord has shown us in the past should lead us to the accomplishment and the practice of the holy priesthood today. Now is the time. the reason why in the past decades, even from the time of Reformation until today, we are not practicing yet, because we are not that far yet. If you consider the Reformation time as kindergarten, okay, or as preschool. So you cannot expect anything from kindergarten or preschool. Even elementary school, after elementary school, okay, are you qualified to be a doctor or engineer or architect or, right? Did you start architecture when you were grade four, in the fourth grade? Why not? Not qualified. Impossible. So we're not blaming in the past that they're not practicing the priesthood. Even 40 years ago, they're not practicing the priesthood, because the time has not really come yet. 40 years ago, I learned concerning all these wonderful offerings. But at that time, it was just for me. I did not realize it is for him. I've been practicing, experiencing Christ as this in his humanity. And even in 1977, right, I gave that conference in Stuttgart, Germany. I spent, I don't know how many weeks, and how many messages concerning the matter of the offerings. But still, at that time, it was not like today. And there was really no practice of the offerings, of the spiritual sacrifices. And it's all, if at all, and I don't know how many people really got into it, daily practicing to learn to experience Christ as the burned offering. You know, if you are a person practicing to experience Christ as the burned offering, after a couple of years, you will be a man who desires to live to fulfill the will of the Father. Because that's what the burnt offering is for. Right? But after so many years, I don't know what happened. Right? So, the time has not come yet. And today, look at many different groups there. We have a hard time to do that, because our tradition and our habit is just to do nothing in a meeting. Nobody come prepared. Yeah, really, really. I made a joke in the Philippines when I was there. If I confiscated all of your songbooks, how are you going to have the Lord's table? No more song book. Let's sing hymn number what? You have no more song book. After singing the songs for so many years, you still cannot memorize it. So without song book, you can't sing anymore. You only know the first line. The kingdom is Christ as the Spirit. And then the second line, you don't know anymore. And the second stanza, maybe you know the first stanza, but not the second anymore. After so many years. I'm not against singing, okay? I love to sing. But it's I love to sing. But the Lord's table is not a time for singing. It's keeping the feasts. Right. We are for the substance. We are for the reality. If you ask somebody at the Lord's table to stand up and share with us about a Passover, I don't think he even knows where to find a Passover in what chapter in Exodus. And what does it include? Do you think everyone who is, oh Lord, you're the Passover, wonderful Lord, but you still love the world and stayed in Egypt? Then what are you keeping the feast of the Passover? How? He said, Lord, praise the Lord, you died for me. Oh, you went through so much suffering and we became so sentimental. He suffered for me. That means I don't need to suffer, right? He died for me, but I don't say I died with him. He died. I don't die. I don't need to die, right? So that is keeping a feast. Right. So there are so many things for us to learn. I'm saying this tonight again to stir up your spirit and your heart to have the realization how important it is to practice the priesthood. And if you have eyes to see in the whole scriptures, which the Lord used Moses to summarize the whole thing, number one is the good land. What do you do in a good land? And number two, Jerusalem, the house of the living God, the temple. What do we do there in the temple of God? Number three, the priesthood. Do we want to be the priesthood? And number four, to keep the feast. So important. Appointed by God. This is God's appointment with his people. And then number five, the offering of spiritual sacrifices. You put all these things together. This is what the whole Bible is all about. So may the Lord open our eyes to really see. We are touching something that is very crucial, not in a doctrinal way. But now we are dealing with the substance and the reality and the practice of all these wonderful points together. And by this way, you will be perfected. You will be perfected. You know, we have bits and pieces there in the New Testament. For me to live is Christ. What for? How do you live Christ? And why are you living Christ? And what kind of a Christ are you experiencing and living? People told me, oh, we don't have to say all this offering, what offering, what offering. And then, okay, then what are you, what kind of Christ are you experiencing? Tell me. You don't have to know. Why don't you have to know? You study science? Yeah? What part of science? Just science. Science is science. Yeah, but what? Computer? What? Typing? There are many parts in a computer. What do you do? Programming? But you have to tell me what you're doing. A computer, okay, what do you do with computer? Play games and video games, is that? That's what Emmanuel do. Is that your major, video games? No, then tell me what? Computers, computer. Computer science, yeah, but what? What science are you learning? Just science or what? You have to explain in what are you majoring. You have to know
There are many different ways. If you tell me you're an engineer, my next question is, what kind of engineer? Electrical, mechanical? Are you washing cars or changing tires? What do you do? You want to experience Christ, okay, God will tell you what kind of a Christ you should experience to really be perfected. You want to be like Christ, in what way you're going to be like Christ? So we all need to learn. The priesthood is very specific. God wants us to experience Christ in a very specific way. Paul also wanted to experience Christ in a very specific way. He talked about the excellencies of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord. He talks about the unsearchable riches. And if you read through his epistles, he brought out so many different wonderful aspects of this Christ. You want to be perfected today in a priesthood. You said you want to bring an offering to God. Then what offering are you going to bring? Just an offering. Yeah, what? Offering is offering. You can argue the whole day about it. Is it a burnt offering? What is a burnt offering? I don't know. If you don't know, then you're in trouble. You better know. If you're a priest, if you're not a priest, okay, your excuse. Don't have to know. But if you want to be a priest, you better know. So are you a priest, or are you not a priest? Lord Jesus. So today, 2016, 2017, talking about a priesthood, you need to be up to date. You need to be in university. Not in an elementary level. Talking about, you have to be in the Spirit. The Spirit, call on the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. That's 40 years ago. One Spirit with the Lord. I know that 40 years ago. We talked about that almost every day 40 years ago. He that is joined to the Lord is one Spirit with him. Oh, I love that verse. 40 years ago. My favorite verse. Right? Wasn't it your favorite verse? Oh, yeah. My favorite verse. But today, it's not that I don't believe that anymore. But now we have to be brought to another level. The priesthood. So, may the Lord have mercy. Many, many years ago, the slogan, turn to your spirit. Just turn to your spirit. Okay, when you turn to your spirit, what do you do? Well, what are you doing in the spirit? You cannot just be in the spirit doing nothing, okay? <laughs> 在灵里做什么?睡觉。 Right. No, if you are in your spirit, you must be very active in your spirit. To experience this wonderful Christ. As what? Now in the very, very specific. Right. Because when Christ was on this earth, he lived a life that is 100% well-pleasing to the Father to accomplish the Father's will. Behold, I come to do your will. Amen. This is the main thing, that's number one. You have to learn this. The will of the Father. The Lord didn't care for anything else, what people say. As long as he knew what the will of the Father is, that's it. You cannot take him away from that will of the Father. Right? So we need today to realize how important the priesthood is. Now, just a few important general point first. A, practicing the holy and royal priesthood. These are certain very basic characteristics of the priest. You must be pursuing righteousness, peace, and holiness. Not just love, 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 and love, and more love, and at the end there is no love. Right. But righteousness. Praise the Lord for righteousness. To be right with God. To be right with man. And Christ being our righteousness, we are not just right according to our own concept, but right according to Christ, because Christ is our righteousness. Remember what Paul said in Philippians, not to be found in his own righteousness, which is of the law. But righteousness of Christ, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the righteousness of God. Righteousness is the basic, very, very important characteristic of our God. Our God is a righteous God. Praise the Lord. Right. You have to be a righteous priest. If you're not righteous, you're disqualified. At least you have to be a person pursuing righteousness. If you're a person living Christ, then the first thing you will experience is to experience righteousness. This is important. So in all these verses, in 2 Timothy 2:22, Hebrews 12:14, right, and God will discipline us so that we can really bear the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Why do you need discipline? Because we are not righteous in many things. So if I'm not right, what will the Father do to me? If you're not doing the right thing, will your Father praise you? Good boy, good boy. Wonderful son. Hallelujah. So unrighteous. No, right? What is your dad going to do to you? Right? Give you a lesson. Right? Correct you. Discipline you a little bit. You think our Heavenly Father will not teach us righteousness? Hebrews chapter 12 tells us our God will teach us righteousness. Yeah. And righteousness comes with peace. That's why it's called the peaceable, peaceable fruit of righteousness. Because without righteousness, there is no peace. Absolutely no peace. You want to make peace? Be righteous. Yeah. Right. So, righteousness, peace, and holiness. Remember the word holy priesthood. It's not just priesthood. Holy priesthood. Not corrupted priesthood. No, no. Right. But a holy priesthood, because God is holy. God is not only righteous, God is holy. Yeah. So these few characteristics, righteousness, holiness, and peace. And that's the kingdom of God, right? Suppose you're not righteous, you think there's going to be joy. What is the kingdom of God in the book of Romans? What did it say? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. So, righteousness is a very big word. And Christ is made unto us our righteousness. Right? And also sanctification, holiness. So these two words you should not forget. Because without these two bases, there is no priesthood. How are you going to serve God? Right? Pursuing. The word pursue. It doesn't come to you out of the blue sky. No. You have to pursue it. Right? Pursue. Meaning to say, you give yourself diligently to gain the righteousness, to seek after righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Right? We must be those who are pursuing. This will bring you to perfection. Right? You must pursue. Go after it. Go for it. Seek after it. Paul says, he pressed toward the mark. You must press forward to gain the righteousness of God. Not gain knowledge. Not to gain some doctrines or position or recognition and goodness. What are we pursuing? Righteousness, real peace, and holiness. So all of these verses, you can really see, are very important. We don't have the time to go into the verses, but you have the time. In the afternoon or any time tonight before you go to bed, just flip over the verses. You will really realize the holiness is so important also. What did the writer said in chapter 12, without holiness, no one can see God. You want to see God? Of course not with your physical eyes. Right? We see God with our inner eyes today. Right? If we are unholy, the Lord will not appear to you. The Lord will not appear to you. No. If we are not people who are pursuing holiness, don't think you can see God. No. And holiness has to do with purity, a pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Our heart is impure in that there's so many other motives that is in our heart. Yes, I love the Lord and I love to read the Bible, but there are many other motives in my heart, not pure. Right? So if we are not pure, you cannot see God. Sorry. Yeah, it doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. No. But to see Him, is something else. Right? So, to pursue peace and holiness without which no one can see God. You can know so much about the Bible, but still you will not see God. God is not going to be seen by you just because you know the Bible.
But you can see God, the holy God, if you pursue holiness. Then you can see God. So even Peter says, be holy, because God is holy. So be holy. What does it tell you? It depends on you whether you like it or not. Seid heilig. Was heißt das? Mandatory. It's mandatory. A command. You have to. You want to see God? Of course, unless you don't want to see God, okay? If you don't want to see God, okay, that's fine. It's your choice. But if you want to see God, and a priest must approach the living God, you have to see God if you want to serve him. Then you have to be holy. That's why I appreciate 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And 1 Thessalonians actually talks much about holiness, sanctification, which is the will of God. And we have to learn to keep our vessels holy. May the God of peace sanctify you completely, your whole spirit, soul, and body. Right? So to be perfected is not to know so much doctrine. I'm not saying that you should not know the Bible. But knowing the Bible is not the qualification. It is a help. Don't say, I don't want any doctrine or knowledge. No, you do need some knowledge, okay? But if you just want knowledge, that knowledge will not help you. It will help you to what? To be puffed up like a balloon. If you just have knowledge, it'll make you proud. Oh, I know the Bible. What are you going to tell me? You can tell me nothing. Oh, my goodness. Then I'm really puffed up like a balloon. A big one, too. I've got a big head. You know, no wonder our head looks like a balloon. Sometimes it looks like Mickey Mouse. The balloon that you got in Disneyland. Yeah? So don't be like that. Be reasonable. Right? If we desire to have knowledge, it is only so that we can know Christ and gain him. Not just so, oh yeah, you see, I know so much. Forget about knowing so much. Because if you know so much and you don't have the life, you're going to have a big problem. You're going to be a very proud man. And pride comes before fall. And that's one of the things that God really hates, a proud man and a proud look. Be careful. Right? So may the God of peace sanctify us wholly. Not your spirit. And don't say, my spirit doesn't need sanctification. Why not? It starts with the spirit, then the soul, and then the body, completely. And to be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And faithful is he who has called you, and he will also do it to help you. But you must be willing. Right? So this is important. To be perfected. Don't think to be perfected is you read all the books. Read all Watchmani's books. Better read this book. There's no book like this. It's short and to the point and is guaranteed full of life. Okay. And no mistakes. 100% truth. Not just 95%. It's pure. Organic. Guaranteed organic. Living. Spirit and life. Other books, no guarantee. No guarantee. Okay? Praise the Lord. And now the second point, in the priesthood, to perfect us, you should be a person who loves the truth, not the lies. The truth means also the reality, the substance, not just the objective truth. The love for the truth. If you don't have the love for the truth, it's so easy for the serpent to deceive you, for anyone to deceive you. And you will believe everything you hear. You know, don't blame the liar. If you believe in the lies, don't blame the liar. There's always a reason why you believe in lies more than you believe in the truth. Because you don't love the truth. If you love the truth, you will have a very sharp ear. And you will have a very sharp eyes. And you will have a very sensitive nose. Yep. Right. So, the priest should really be those who love the truth. Do you love the truth? Right. And if you really love the truth and you come to the Word of God, the truth will come out. It will shine out, will stand out. Very strange. It's really wonderful because there is an element in you, in the spirit, that loves the truth. So truth in you, the love for the truth, will draw out the truth that is in the Word of God. The truth will come out. Why is it that a lot of people, when they read this book, they don't see anything? They even see some crooked things because their eyes are crooked. Yeah. If my eyes is crooked, I see double. Right? I see double. Sometimes when I see the moon there, I see two moons there. I don't know which one is real now. The two moons, which one? I'll close this one. I don't know which one is real. Double vision. Right? You are an optometrist, right? So when you have double vision, you don't know which one is real. You're in trouble. So when you read the Bible, you don't have a single heart, a heart who loves the truth, the love for the truth. Even God will send you a big delusion. Because he knows you don't love the truth anyway. Why should I show you? I might as well send you a lie so that you will believe the lie. This is what Paul wrote in Thessalonians. Because they don't have the love for the truth, God sends them a lie, a delusion. Right? So why so many people believe in lies? I don't know. Yes, I do. Because they don't have the love for the truth. Sorry. This is what the Bible says. Oh Lord, read those verses. And especially if you are a priest, you want to be a priest. The mouth of the priest, out of your lips, people should learn the truth. If you cannot speak the truth with your lips, then you have, like what Psalm 120 says, your lying lips and deceitful tongues. Terrible. And if you have lying lips and deceitful tongues, you will make war and not peace. Your mouth will say, well, we're for peace, but then you're really for war. That's what the United Nations says. That's what China says. We are for peace. That's what Russia says. We are for peace. Obama says, we are for peace. ISIS says, oh, we are for peace.
Everybody says, Islam, we are for peace. And a Christian also says, we are for peace. Everybody says we are for peace, but in reality, they are for war. That's why the world is full of war. Lying lips. No, you want to be a priest? Speak the truth. Speak the truth in love. Love is not enough. But to speak the truth in love. Don't just speak love, love, love. But in reality, it is hate. Fooling people. Even when you talk about love, you're deceiving people. Yeah. Oh, Lord. So the Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. Oh Lord, and 2 John chapter 1 and 3 John chapter 1. Let us read what the old Apostle John says. It's good to hear the grandpa sometimes. Right. But not every grandpa, okay? Second John, yeah, chapter 1, verse 4. I rejoice greatly that I have found some, unfortunately, just some, of your children walking in the truth as we receive commandment from the Father. How wonderful. I rejoice greatly. Do you rejoice when you see someone walking in the truth? Or just walking? Walk in the truth, not just in the spirit. A lot of people say, oh, we're in the spirit, but they lied. They're not speaking the truth. What kind of a spirit are you talking about? Right? But walking in the truth. I really love this word. Maybe you don't like 2 John and 3 John, right? You all know 1 John, but not 2 John and 3 John, right? You see, right? You all agree with me. Because we thought it's not important, just one small, short chapter. There's nothing there. I like to read about, wow, so many wonderful things, the blood, and walking the light, and the anointing. I love another world. Oh, my goodness, I love 1 John. But 2 John and 3 John, very straightforward. To the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Don't believe everybody that says, I love you. They may not really love you, but you should really learn to say, to love you in truth. My, these Gewürz, wie sagt man, spices. The truth is a wonderful spice to add to the love. To love in truth. Right? And then 3 and 4, for I rejoice greatly. My, again it says here. Right? When brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, not of the love that is in you. But the truth, because truth never change. Yeah? Truth is very solid, like a pillar. The church is a pillar and base of the love. No. I always quote wrongly. Huh? I'm glad that you always correct me. It's good to be corrected. So the church is the pillar and base of the doctrine. How come I always have a hard time to speak the word truth out of my mouth? This is what our flesh is. Pillar and base of the truth. Because truth is unchangeable. If you cannot speak the truth, you are not a pillar. You are, I don't know what, you don't have a backbone. You're like spaghetti. You are as soft as a spaghetti. It doesn't stand up unless it's uncooked. You raw spaghetti, not edible, okay? Testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. My. How many word truth in these few verses? I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Wonderful. No greater joy. So this is a very important factor for a priesthood. Amen. If a priest cannot speak the truth, you are bankrupt. Spiritually bankrupt. And the Lord did say, yea, yea, nay, nay. What is in between is of the devil. Because the devil cannot say the truth. The devil cannot say it's black or it's white. He had a hard time to say that. He will say, well, it is gray. Right? Yeah. That's what a politician do. Right? But you're right, I appreciate Mr. Trump. Because he said it sometimes. I don't know if he said it all the time, but sometimes he said it as it is. Crooked somebody. he said it exactly as it is. Praise the Lord. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Amen. Wonderful if everyone in the church life walk in the truth. No politics. No gray zone. Yea is yea, nay is nay. It's so simple, right? Not so complicated. This is very important to be perfected. Because our God is a God of truth. He's holy, He's righteous, He's true, He's truth. Satan is a lie, and he's the father of lies, but our God is the truth. His whole being is the truth. And the Lord says, I am the truth. Amen. So, what are we? What are we walking in? We must be walking in the truth. Praise the Lord. Lord, we love the truth. This is a very basic characteristic of training as a priest. Right? Amen. Amen. Praise God. And then number three, be faithful. Faithful is another characteristic that is necessary. You may know so many things, and once in a while you may be, okay, you love the truth today, but then you're not faithful, and tomorrow you don't love the truth anymore. 10 years ago, you're so burning, and now you're so cold. 50 years ago, 40 years ago, oh, hallelujah. And today, I don't know what happened. Not faithful. Yeah. You have to be faithful. Faithful as the sons of Zadok. And the word Zadok, the name Zadok means righteous. Hallelujah. Change your name. I'll give you a middle name. Yuna Zadok. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful name here. Very appropriate for the priesthood. And he is faithful. Remember, our Lord is called the faithful witness. And they that follow him are faithful and true. Because if you're not faithful, nobody knows what's going to happen to you tomorrow. You change. And you change very quickly. I know a lot of people who change so quickly overnight. Amazing. Yeah. Right. So, our Lord is called a faithful witness. He is really faithful. Faithful unto death. And the Lord did say, be faithful unto death. And you will receive a crown of life. It's wonderful. To be faithful is a very necessary characteristic of a priest. Be faithful. Right? Then if you are faithful, like the Lord says, a faithful and wise servant. Who is a faithful and a wise servant? So this is what we have to be. Right? May the Lord really help us. May the Spirit help us. Learn, okay? These are important. I don't think I just get this out of the Bible, because I have seen so many cases in the last years. Unrighteous, no peace, fighting all the time, and conflict, and unholy, not truthful, lying, my goodness, unfaithful, changing like the weather, and even faster than the weather. This is really amazing, right? Amazing. Then the fourth point, you have to learn the consecration of the priesthood. The consecration of the priesthood is not a simple matter. Lord, I give myself to you. It's very easy to sing that. But if you take a look at the consecration of the priest, it's a very, very special process of consecration. And this consecration in Leviticus 8 has accompanied my life for many years. 40-some years ago, I discovered, wow, there is a consecration offerings for the priests. It's not just standing up, I give myself to you, Lord. It's very easy to sing that and say that. But the process, you need to know the offerings. You need to have a bull for a sin offering. Yeah, how about that? Right? You need. And then you need two rams. One for the burnt offering. And then one for the consecration offering. And then you need to have baskets of all kinds of meal offering, cakes, unleavened cakes of different types. Well, you need all these to really consecrate yourself. If not, your consecration will be terminated.
Not real. You will be consecrated if you like it. You are for burning because you're new. Wow, this looks good. Wow, amen, right? Then gradually, it's no fun anymore. Gradually, you don't have any gain anymore. Gradually, oh, nobody prays you. Nobody likes you anymore. So what happened to your consecration? Terminated. Finished. So the consecration is very different. Of course, we don't have time tonight to really get into it. But you have to realize that, hey, this is an amazing consecration. And in that consecration offering, especially the ram of consecration, it is being handled the same as a peace offering. In a peace offering, you should be fully reconciled to God, right? And He is our peace. And otherwise, you're a priest arguing, fighting every day with your co-priests there. And at the end, there'll be war and no peace. The war of the priests. It's so terrible. It sounds like very funny, yeah? But really, that's the case. Then you should use the blood of the consecration ram to apply them on the right lobe of your ears. Because a priest must learn how to listen to the Lord and be obedient to God. That means, hey, your ears have to be redeemed. Have you ever asked the Lord to redeem your ear? No. Tonight you know, right? You need to put some of the blood of the ram of consecration in the right lobe. You don't need it on the left, just on the right is good enough. If your right ear is consecrated, your left ear will agree with it. Right? So, just your right lobe. Lord, save my ears. Redeem my ears. From now on, my ears belong to you. I want to listen to you. I want to obey you. At least, although I'm not absolute yet, but I'm on the way. Now, this ear is yours. Redeemed, to be redeemed means you bought it. He bought it. You sold it and he bought it. You want to sell your ears? To whom? To lies? To listen to so many crazy things? Rock music? You need to let the Lord redeem your ear. And then you have to apply to your blood to your right thumb. Right? I know the ladies like to put, I don't know, what do you call that? Huh? Nail polish. No, no. Forget about the nail polish. Put the blood of the ram of consecration on your right thumb. Which means that whatever you do it with the Lord and for the Lord. You will not do anything the Lord will not let you do. Because we like to do whatever I like to do. Right? That means our hand is not redeemed. My hand is free. But once the blood is applied, you're no longer free. A priest is not free. You want to be free? Forget about a priesthood. Do whatever you like. Go home. Go home.
But if you want to be a consecrated priest, then apply the blood on the right thumb, then you're not free anymore to do whatever you like. But you do what the Lord wants you to do. You obey, you hear, listen to the Spirit. You know, many people says, I don't hear the Lord speaking to me, right? Isn't it so hard? I heard people always complaining, so hard. How does the Lord speak to you? How come he doesn't speak to me? Now I know. No blood. You have to, come. Let me inspect your right ear to see. Now I know why. Right. So, you need to have the blood on the right thumb. Praise the Lord. It's very practical. The consecration of the priesthood is not just, okay, Lord, I volunteered. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Well, not that simple. That's why so many people who says they are serving the Lord at the end, I don't know who they are serving and what they are serving. And I don't even know at the end what they are doing. And who they are listening to. Am I too much to say that? No. Right. And not only that, you need to put it on the right toe of your foot. Oh my, then. You still want to be a priest? Please, you're free to go home, okay? You still want to be a priest to be so restricted? Markus, Amen. Wirst du immer noch, ja? Schätzt du nicht deine Freiheit? Ja. To hear what you like to hear, do what you like to do, and go to places what you like to go, where you like to go. How about that? You want to be a priest?
Amen.
You want to go through the consecration?
Absolutely.
And then you have to eat all those unleavened bread, different kind, not just one kind, because there are so many aspects of the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of wonderful aspects in the different ways this fine flour, unleavened, is baked. Some mingled with oil, some anointed with oil, and baked in different ways. You like to eat those bread, hard bread, unleavened. You know, I'm keeping a gluten-free diet. And so sometimes it's egg-free, it's milk-free, it's gluten-free, and then it's taste-free. I don't like it. But whether I like it, I don't like it, I have no choice. We all need to learn. And then, not only that, is not only one day, you have to do it 7 days. How about that? You have to do it 7 days, and you're confined there in the house, the tabernacle. You're not allowed to even leave that place for 7 days. That means it has to be a complete process. Once is not enough. Twice, no. You might think 3 times is good enough. No. 4 times? No. 5? No. 6? No. 7. Yeah. Still want to go through the process? This is the consecration of the priest.
So this is the first point there, how to practice the holy and the royal priesthood. This is the first lesson. Amen. Am I going to see you again tomorrow? Don't worry, I'm understanding. If you don't come, that's fine, I know.
Praise the Lord.